Okay, let's make a start. Good morning, everybody. Great to see everybody. This is our last shiur before Pesach. So we're going to be talking about Pesach topics. I'd like to start, first of all, by thanking the sponsor, the shiurim for 2023, our sponsor, Le'ilu Nishmos Brana Bas Brandet, and Zelig Ben Kalman. Very grateful for that. If I could remind you also to turn your phones off so that we get a jingle-free shiur, maybe for the first time. I'd also like to make a little pitch. I mentioned that we're having a book launch for my new Sefer, Bezrat Hashem, that is going to be at the OU here, probably in this room, on April the 30th. That is the first Sunday after Yom Ha'atzmaut. We will announce it and send things out. If anybody is desperate that they can't wait till April the 30th, they need to read it before Pesach, then they can get it in Pomerantz and other bookstores. If they're even more desperate, they can't wait till this afternoon, they can get it from me in my car at the end. But all the best things are worth waiting for, right? It is, as I mentioned before, hopefully a groundbreaking new book. It is a completely new conversation on the concept of tzniut, bringing men very much to the center of that picture, really some very new things. It's called Reclaiming Dignity. Reclaiming Dignity, a guide to tzniut for men and women. Okay, so this is coming out. Please God, the book launch will be on April the 30th, and I'll be happy to answer questions. Okay. In Hebrew is another question. Okay. In Spanish is another question. Okay, fine. You were a Pomerantz?
And it was there.
Yes, it's in Pomerantz right now, but I can get it to you a bit cheaper, but okay, fine. that's a different conversation. Okay, now we're not talking about that now. We start haggling after the shiur. Okay, fine. Today we're dealing with Pesach. Today's shiur is going to be a roller coaster, an exciting ride, I think. Mali v'Gadosh, it's going to be overflowing with ideas from different parts of Judaism, honestly, not just from Pesach. I'm dealing with the issue of eating matzah, but not eating matzah on Seder night. That I think everybody realizes there's a mitzvah to eat matzah on Seder night. We'll look at it in a little bit more depth. But eating matzah for the whole of Pesach. Some people look forward to eating matzah. Some people do not look forward to eating matzah. Is there a concept of a mitzvah of eating matzah, not just on Seder night, but the whole of Pesach? Or can you say, no, I did my bit, I ate my matzah, from now on it's going to be fresh fruit. Bread, you can wait till after Pesach. So let's start quite quickly with 10 psukim from the Torah, 9 of which are very explicit that the Torah wants us to eat matzah for 7 days. Let's go through these really quickly. Number 1. Shivas Yamim Matzos Tochelu. It starts off in Parshas Bo, 7 days you have to eat matzah, and then it says on the first day you clear out your chometz, etc., and don't eat chometz for the rest of Pesach. Okay. Number 2. Berishon Ba'arba Asa Yom Lechodesh, on the 14th of Nisan, that's next Wednesday, Ba'erev, Tochlu Matzot. In the evening, in that evening you have to eat matzot. Well, that's the night of Seder. Ad Yom Echad Ve'esim Lechodesh Ba'erev. Until the 21st in the evening. That's interesting. It seems to be a whole week of meat eating matzahs. Number 3. Shiva Shamim Tocha Matzot. The 7 days you have to eat matzah. Over Yom HaShvi Chag LaHashem. And on the 7th day is also a chag. Number 4. We're still in Parshas Bo. Matzot Yeachel et Shivat Hayamim. Matzahs have to be eaten for the whole 7 days. And then it brings the mitzvah not to have chometz in your house. Number 5. Et chag ha-matzot tishmor. We're now in Parshas Mishpatim. Make sure you keep the chag ha-matzot. And by the way, the fact that it's called chag ha-matzot is a bit of a giveaway, maybe, that the whole chag, not just the first night, is a chag ha-matzot. Et chag ha-matzot tishmor. Shivat yamim tochal matzot. For 7 days, you have to eat matzot. Ka'ashe tziviticha, as I already commanded you in Parshas Bo. Then in number 6 in Parshas Kisisa, es chag ha-matzot tishmor, make sure you keep chag ha-matzot. Shivas yamim tochal matzot. You have to eat matzot for 7 days, asher tziviticha, just like I have commanded you. Over the page, number 7. And now in Parshas Emor, ubechamisha asa yom lechodesh, on the 15th of the month, lechodesh hazeh, chag ha-matzot is l'Hashem. This is the beginning of chag ha-matzot. Shivat yamim matzot tochelu. Eat matzot for 7 days. Number 8, Parshas Pinchas. Ubechamisha asa yom lechodesh hazeh, chag, it's a chag on the 15th of the month, Shivas yamim matzos ye achel. For 7 days, matzos have to be eaten. And number 9 in Parshas Re'eh, v'zavachta Pesach Lashem, bring up the korban Pesach Lashem elokecha, sonu bakar, either a sheep or a cattle, which is a problematic posuk because the korban Pesach has to be a sheep. I'm not getting into that now. Maybe the bakar is the korban chagiga, which goes with it, not for now. But makom asher yivcha Hashem, where God will choose, l'shaken shmo sham, lo tochal alav chametz, don't eat chametz while you're bringing my korban Pesach. Shivas yamim tochal alav matzos, but you have to eat 7 days. You have to eat matzot. Lechem oni, matzos lechem oni. Sounds like you have to eat for 7 days matzot lechem oni, which is the matzah we eat shmura matzah on Seder night. Ki bechipazon yatzatzah. Well, not shmura. I'll take that back. We'll get back to shmura in a minute. Ki bechipazon yatzatzah me'eretz Mitzrayim, because you came out of Mitzrayim in a hurry, etc., etc. 9 psukim, each of which clearly and explicitly say you have to eat matzah for 7 days. Sounds like a open and shut case. All the action is going to start from the next pasuk. After 9 times that the Torah has mentioned 7 days of eating matzah, look at number 10. Later on in Parshas Re'eh, actually the next few pasukim, ubishalta va'achalta b'makom asher yivcha Hashem, you'll cook, again a problematic word because the Korban Pesach has to be roasted, but not for now. You'll cook the Korban Pesach in the place that I choose, la'ashem elokecha bo, the place that God chooses, ufanita baboker, and then in the morning you can turn away, you can leave in the morning, we'll get back to what that is in a minute, v'halachta lo alecha, and you can go back home again. Sheshes yamim toichal matzos, for 6 days you will eat matzah, uvayom ha'shvi, and on the 7th day, atzeret l'Hashem elokecha, it is a special day of a chag, of a stop day, to stop work, lo tasem elacha. 6 days, eat matzah for 6 days. So 9 times it said eat matzah for 7 days, and now it says eat matzah for 6 days. So we're going to look at that in some depth, both in terms of the pshat and in terms of the drash and the halacha. But what's the obvious answer, which is the answer we're going to see in a minute? Why does it say 6 days in number 9, in number 10 rather, where it said 7 days beforehand? So let's have a look. What does it mean you wait overnight and only the next morning you go home? So Rashi gives a very clear answer, number 11. Rashi says, Ufanitza Baboka, which morning is this talking about? Lebakarosh al Sheini, this is the second day of Chag. Meaning you have to stay in Yerushalayim if you bring the Korban Pesach. You're there for the 14th, you do the Korban Pesach. You stay for Seder night, the 15th. You stay through Yom Tov, the day of the 15th. You stay that night as well. And on the 16th, you can go home. It's the first day of Chol HaMoed. You can go home then. Okay? Shetan Lina Leil Lal Shels Matzah Yom Tov, because you have to stay there for the night of Matzah Yom Tov. Why? So the Sifsei Chachamim brings 2 good reasons. Number 1, because you can't travel home on Yom Tov, because there's a problem with the tchum. You can't go walk all the way home. You can only walk a certain distance. And secondly, because you need to be in Yerushalayim on the morning of the 15th to bring your olat riya. Everyone had to bring a korban olah when they came to Yom. So you couldn't just rush home. And therefore, since you have to stay until the morning of the 16th, why does it say then eat matzah for 6 days? Because you've already done one, and there are 6 days left, and that's what the Chizkuni says in number 12. The Chizkuni, we'll come back to him, very important today, the Chizkuni. He was in Provence in the 13th century, 14th century, he says the following. Sheish yesh yamim tochal matzot, le'el kai, it's going on what we just said before, the hachika ama, and this is what it means. Ufanita baboker, you wait till the next morning to go home, v'halachta olecha, and then you can go back to your house. The kol hashisha yamim hanisharim, and all the 6 days that are left, misham va'elech, from that point onwards, tochal matzot, you have to eat matzot over yom hashvi, and on the 7th day of the whole chag, liyom rishon, from the first day, that is chag, and that goes from the first day. Makes a lot of sense. And by the way, I brought you in the footnote that Rav David Zvi Hoffman points out that you have to tell people that they have to eat matzah and keep the 7th day chag even when they've gone home, because so far pretty much every pasuk about eating matzah has been linked to the Korban Pesach. You come to the Yerushalayim, you bring the Korban Pesach, you eat matzah. But maybe I would have thought, well, okay, that's in Yerushalayim, but once I've gone home, I'm a busy man. It's the beginning of the harvest season. I can't have another chag and eat matzah all week. No, you have to eat matzah all week for the 6 remaining days, even if you choose to go home. Of course, you can choose to stay in Yerushalayim for the whole of the chag. Maybe that'll be expensive, though. We know how much it costs to stay at the Inbal or other places like that. If you choose to go home, you can have chag back home, but you have to eat matzah for the 6 remaining days, and you have to have a day at the end of chag. Fine. So pshat, we kind of solved the problem. I think it's fairly straightforward. Other people bring this as well. Rav Hirsch brings this. The Ksav HaKabbalah brings this. That's the answer as to why it says 6 days. But what about the drash? The Gemara does a very unusual thing. Well, not so unusual for the Gemara, but from our perspective, from the meaning of the pasuk, a somewhat unusual thing. Look at number 11. So the Gemara says in Pesachim, it's quite a famous Gemara. 13, excuse me. Thank you. Glad you're on the ball. Number 13, the Gemara says, and Rashi actually brings this Gemara, so it may be familiar to some through Rashi as well. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Sheshes Yamim Tochal Matzos. You have to keep 6 days, you have to eat matzos. Uvayom HaShvi Atzeres L'Hashem Elokech. And on the 7th day is a chag. Now what? Why 6 plus 1? 6 plus 1. Why that? Mashvi'i Rishut, just like the 7th day sounds like it's an option, meaning it said you must eat for 6 days. And on the 7th day, it's not included in those 6 days, it's an option, you can eat or not if you want. Af Sheshet Yamim Rishut, so too the earlier 6 days are also optional. How do I know that? Mic timer, because let's remind us ourselves of the one of the 13 hermeneutical rules of Rabbi Shmuel that we read in the morning. If we read them in the morning, they're at the end of Korbanot. If we read the Korbanot, Rav Yitzchak Bernstein, Zeche Tzadik Livrocha, used to say, when people come late to shul, the first thing they sacrifice is the Korbanos. Except he said it with an Irish accent, which sounded much better. Okay, fine. So in the Yud Gimel Midas of Rabbi Ishmael, it says, Dava, second line number 13, Dava Shehaya Bichlal, something that was in a general group, V'yatsa minachlal lelamed, and it comes out of that group. It's excluded from that group to teach something. Lo lelamed al atzmo yatsa. It doesn't just teach that thing about itself. El lelamed al klal kula yatsa. But it comes to teach about the whole group. Meaning, 7 days you eat matzah. The last day has been excluded. Why? Because another pasuk says 6 days, so the last day is outside, and it's your option. If something is excluded from the group, it doesn't just teach about itself, it teaches back on the whole group. So that is teaching us that actually all 7 days of Pesach, matzah is rishut, is optional. You don't have to eat if you don't want to. Says the Gemara, Yachal af laila rishon rishut. You might have thought that Seder night was also an option. It's up to you. No. There's another pasuk, Tamad Lomo, because the Torah says, Al matzah yisem aroim yocheyu. When you eat the Korban Pesach, you must eat it with matzah on maror. You have to eat matzah that night. Ah, einli ela bizman she beis hamikdash kayim. That's only when there's a Korban Pesach. Bizman she ein beis hamikdash kayim minayin. What about today when there's no Korban Pesach? There's another pasuk. Tamad Lomo says in Shmadim Bo, Ba'erev tochlu matzah. You must eat matzah that evening. Hakosav kavu chova. The pasuk has made it into a chovah. So what am I left with after this hermeneutical process? That the first night of Yom Tov is a chovah. But after that, it's all rishut. It's optional. There's no obligation to eat matzah. We'll come back to the issue of eating bread and matzah on Yom Tov. It's your choice. Okay, that's one way that the Gemara deals with it. That it, the 6 and the 7 is 6 plus 1. However, the Gemara in Menachas does something very different. It says it's not 6 plus 1, it's 1 plus 6. Okay, why? What's the difference between the first day and all the other days? Look at number 14. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, Kosev echad oimah sheish yishamim tochal matzos. One posik says eat for 6 days. Kosev achad, another posik says, shiva yishamim matzos tochelu. You have to eat for 7 days. Haketzad, what does that mean? It says the following. Matzah she'iyata yochel la'oichla shivat min achadash. Ata yachal la'oichla shisha min achadash. Chadash and yashan. On the first night of Yom Tov, you can't eat yet from chadash, because you can only eat chadash, the new crop, after they bring the Korban Omer on the morning of the 16th, on the first day of Chol HaMoed. And therefore, that first day of Yontzef, whatever matzahs you're eating, has to be from the old crop, from the yasha. From the 16th and onwards, you can bake new matzahs with the chadash, with the new crop, because that is permitted to you. So that's why it says 6 and 7, because it's 1 plus 6. Okay? The question is, though, how can I learn two really different things from the same pasuk? The Gemara said 6 and 7, and one place it says it teaches this, that matzah is reshut, and the other place it teaches something about chadash and yasha. And it's not clear. Tosfos actually raises this question in number 15. He says, when he points out in Menachas here, in number 15, he says, B'soif ar b'sachim darish minei, at the end of Pesachim we give a different drasha, the 6 plus 1 drasha, ma shiva reshus av shishrus, etc. And then he says, v'shem atar tishmas minei. Maybe you can learn two things from this. Maybe you can. Maybe you can't. It's difficult, because we don't normally learn two different things from the same drash. So this is, what choice do I have? Here it seems to be an exception, and we do. Which one do we paskin like? So clearly we paskin like both, in the sense that you can't eat from a chadash on the first day, but we also paskin like the one on in Pesachim. Look in number 16, this is very straightforward. The Rambam rules. Mitzvahs ase mina Torah. Lechol matzah, when is it a mitzvah to eat matzah? Beleil chamisha asar. On the night of the 15th, Shenem, as it says, be'erev tochlo matzahs. Aval b'shar haregel, for the rest of the regel, achilas matzah reshut. Eating matzah is up to you. If you don't like matzah, don't eat matzah. Ratza, if you want oichel matzah, you can eat matzah if you like matzah. Ratza oichel oirez, or you can eat rice. Or doichen, or you can eat millet. Or klayot, or klayot, or perot, or you can eat vegetables, fruit, you can eat what you like. Of course, the Rambam never heard of kidney oat, or if he'd heard of it, he didn't keep it. My daughter-in-law, who is Italian originally, for their family, Sfaradim, their Spanish-Portuguese Sfaradim, for them on Pesach, the big thing is risotto. The whole week, it's risotto week. So very quickly she realized when she married my son that risotto was off the menu, unfortunately, for Pesach. She traded for keeping 3 hours after meat for the whole year, which I think is a good enough trade. But, you know, you can ask her whether she feels it was worth it. Exactly. Right. She found a good boy as well, but that's a different question. Okay, so the Rambam says it's up to you, eat what you like. Aval b'leil chamisha asa bilvad, only on the 15th in the evening, chova. That's when it's a chova. U'mesha'achal kezayis, yatzidei chavosa. And once you eat a kezayis, you did your chova. Now, we had a whole shir 3 or 4 years ago on how much is a kezayis. How big is an olive? And don't just open a tin and say, it's this big. Because olives come in around 50 different sizes. Google, you know, olive trading sizes. From mini piccolo olives to jumbo olives. We're not going to go over that again. But the Rambam says clearly that the chova is only on the first night. The rest of Pesach is reshut, which sounds like it's optional. Shulchan Aruch reflects that in number 17. Ein chiyuv achilat matzah ela belaila harishon. The only chiyuv of eating matzah is on the first night. Va'af balayla harishon, and even on the first night, yotzeh b'kezayis. A kezayis is all you need to be yotzeh. By the way, you may have picked up in that language, both in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like a kezayis is almost a little bit b'dieved. You have to eat matzah on that night. If you ate a kezayis, you did your duty. We'll see soon that some of the later poskim infer that even if there isn't a mitzvah of eating matzah the whole of Pesach, on the first night, every bite you eat is another mitzvah. Not just the first kezayis. If you ate a kezayis, you're done. You don't have to do more. But if you want to eat more and more, you can do more and more mitzvahs. Okay, and the Mishnah Berurah reflects that. Basically brings out in number 18, Balala Rishon, Dichsiv Ve'erev Tochlo Matzahs, it says a special pasuk for the first night. Aval shar kol halelus, every other night of Yontzef, kol hayamim, every other day of Yontzef, einu muzhar ela shelo lechol chometz. The only problem is eating chometz. Va'after mechuyv lechol pat b'yontzef. Oh, he brings in, of course, you have to eat pat on Yontzef. You have to wash on Shabbos and Yontzef, and pat here means matzah for the purposes of Pesach. Kudemuchol b'sif kuv pechais, and that's clear in Shulchan Aruch. Yochol etzeit v'matzah ashira. This is an important point. You could, in theory, use matzah ashira to wash. Matzah ashira, which is matzah kneaded with fruit juice or egg matzahs, etc., is also matzah. It is kosher le Pesach. Now, I'm Ashkenazi, you might not be, but Ashkenazim do not eat matzah ashira on Pesach because of a machlokus in the Rishonim, whether we're worried that it might become chometz. It is actually mi'ikar din kosher lePesach, but we don't eat it unless there's a real need. Someone who's older needs to eat softer matzahs, etc., or someone who's ill. So, but in theory, you could eat matzah ashira for the whole of Pesach. You don't have to eat matzah for Seder night matzahs, lechem oni. D'hayinu shenil shu b'mei peiros. Aval lechem oni itself, einu mechuyev min haTorah, ki im b'laila ha-rishon. Fine. So far, this is a very straightforward shiur. Now it's about to get much more complicated. Because look at the Ibn Ezra. Says the Ibn Ezra, number 19, Shivas Yamim Matzahs Tochelu. Why do we eat matzah for 7 days? Zeichela achilatam betzeitchem mimitzrayim. Just like they ate when you came out of Egypt. The Hashiva Yamim betzeitam matzot achlu. For 7 days they ate matzah. Why? Ashitava paro b'yom hashvi. Because they were on the run from Paro. Meaning, why didn't they bake bread in Mitzrayim? Because they didn't have time. Meaning, that night they were commanded to eat matzot. They didn't have a choice on that night. They were told, you have to eat matzot with the Korban Pesach. But they could have made sandwiches for the journey.
Excuse me, if you've got time to roast a lamb, you've got time to break bread.
No, they roasted the lamb on the day before. And on the night, they were sitting there with their sticks in their hands, the pekalach ready, you know, when are we going? Are we going now? Are we going in a minute? Are we going? Are we going? Are we going? They didn't have time, and also there's the whole sourdough, you have to get the sourdough right, etc. They didn't use yeast in those days, so they didn't have time. But they could have made bread in the desert. Why couldn't they make bread when they get out? The answer is because they're on the run. They're on the run, they have no time all 7 days. Vehine hiskir al ha-Pesach, that's why it mentions Pesach, is Shivat Yamin Tochal Matzot. We eat matzahs for 7 days on Pesach, says the Ibn Ezra, not because of Seder night, but because we ate matzahs on the run for 7 days. And then he says, Chiyuv al derech hapshat. And this is an obligation based on the pshat. Wow, what's that? I never heard of that before. Meaning, we have pshat, which is the way that the sort of surface level understanding, grammatical understanding of the psukim. And halakha is not based on pshat, it's based on drash. Chazal darshan, they interpret using different rules of interpretation. We've talked about this before. It's a little bit, I like to use a mashal, it's a bit like the lenses that you're wearing. You go to a 3D movie and you wear your regular glasses, it all looks fuzzy. You've wasted your money. Why did I pay extra for to see this? They say, no, put your 3D glasses on and now, oh wow, it's all different. So there are pshat glasses that you read the psukim through, and then you take off your pshat glasses and you put on your drash glasses and it looks quite different. You see different things, see different aspects of the psukim. Yes, sir?
Don't we believe who taught Moshe the Torah,
yes,
the whole word,
yes,
and let him understand,
okay,
what we could have on Pesach, what we
correct.
Could have
the question is how many levels, the question of how many levels are there to the Torah? We darshan, we understand the Torah on a halachic level. The question is, do we learn from the pshat as well? The chiyuv is to eat matzahs on Seder night. The Ibn Ezra knew that. He read the Gemara. He's telling me you have an extra chiyuv to eat matzahs for 7 days based on the pshat. You're right. That also comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But how far do you take this? The pshat also says do not cook a kid in its mother's milk. Is that a problem? Yes, because you're cooking meat and milk, but is it a separate problem? So the Ibn Ezra says again in number 20, Shivat Yamim Tochal Matzot, Kamo Chagas Sukkot. Now he's doing something very interesting. Just like on Sukkos, Achusat Taselecha Shivat Yamim, you have to do 7 days. Vehine hu chiyuv. Meaning, how many days do you have to live in a sukkah? 7 days. How many days do you have to eat matzah? 7 days. It's the same thing. It's a chiyuv. The posuk is telling you to live in a sukkah for 7 days and eat matzah for 7 days. And the Rambam even gives a reason, number 21, in the Moreh Nevuchim. If, however, the eating of the unleavened bread would last for only 1 day, we would not take notice of it, and its meaning would not be made clear. For man often eats one kind of food for 2 or 3 days. Accordingly, the meaning of the eating of unleavened bread only becomes clear, and the account with which it's connected only becomes generally known through its being eaten for a complete period, meaning a whole week. You won't get it if you only eat for 2 or 3 days. Okay? The Ibn Ezra, therefore, thinks I've got some kind of chiyuv based on the pshat, although it's not in the Shulchan Aruch, it's not in the Rambam, etc. The Chizkuni, however, gives me an interesting idea. We're back to the Chizkuni. Yes. Yes, we'll get to sukkah. Very good. Correct. 100%. We will get to the comparison with sukkah. And what I thought you might be about to say, which maybe you were about to say, is, well, hang on a minute. Every time I walk in the sukkah on sukkahs, I say a bracha. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah savit zivanu leishay basukah. So if it's the same with matzah, why don't I say asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah savit zivanu al achilas matzah every time I eat matzah through the whole of Pesach? If it's parallel, what's the difference? We'll get to that. Keep the questions for now. We'll have some more sources. You'll hopefully get your answers. Number 22. Says the Chizkuni, and this has become a famous Chizkuni. Not too many famous Chizkunis, but this one on Pesach is. Ella, again, from Provence, Rav Chizkia ben Manoach, 13th century Provence, southern France. It's going to be a very Provençal shir. We're going to have four big players from Provence that you're going to see what their opinions are. Ella, al yidei doichek, I could kvetch it a little bit. I mean, doichek, I think the best English word for doichek is kvetch. Okay, you could kvetch a little. I know kvetch is not English, in case you write and tell me. Okay, you could push it and say the following. Say, there are some things in the Torah that you get reward when you do them. And you get a punishment in the next world, whatever that means, not getting into that now, when you don't do them. Like matzah on the first night. If you eat it, you get a reward. It's a mitzvah. It's an obligation. If you decide not to eat it, you broke a mitzvah. You get a consequence. The yesh lecha dvarim, and then you have other things, she'ein mekablim schar bi'asiyatam, that you don't get any reward when you do them. Ve'onesh, k'she'ein osim otam, and you don't get any onesh when you don't do them. K'goin matzah mileil rishon ve'elech, like eating matzah for the rest of Pesach. Umikal makam, nevertheless, even though it's completely optional, mitzvah shivas yamim matzah tochelu, there is this phrase, that eat matzah for 7 days, because if it says that in the Torah, kolomer, what that means is, im achal matzah kol shivat hayamim, kiyem haposek zeh. If you ate matzah all 7 days, you fulfilled this verse. Shal shivas yamim matzah tochelu. Okay. So, but if I don't get a reward for doing it, then what did I fulfill? So you'll say, oh, come on. It says in Pirkei Avos, you shouldn't be doing this to get reward. You should be doing this because this is why Kodesh Baruch Hu said. Okay, nice, fine. That's great. But what exactly did I fulfill with this? I fulfilled the posik. Now, there is an alternative girsa. I didn't see this referred to, but I found it, of the Chizkuni that says no. Some things you get reward and punishment if you do them, and some things you get reward if you do them, but you don't get punished if you don't. Like matzah on all 7 days. So it sounds like, according to the other gears of the Chizkuni, it is a mitzvah. I do get reward. Maybe I get less reward, whatever that means. Less of an infinite. Is that less than more of an infinite? We can talk about infinity ad infinitum. But it's a very interesting idea of infinity. But maybe I get reward, but less of a reward. But I get some reward. Therefore, it's some level of mitzvah. By the way, if you look in number 23, the Rambam says this in a completely different context. If you ever do something that you're not commanded to do, it's not the same as someone who is commanded. Ela pachot mimenu. You get schar, but it's less. What's the Rambam talking about here? He's talking about women learning Gemara. Women are not obligated to learn Gemara, but if they choose to learn Gemara, they get schar. They get reward because it's Talmud Torah. Tefillin. Women are discouraged strongly from wearing tefillin. I'm not getting into that sugya now. But yes, every positive time bar mitzvah that a woman decides to do, she decides to sit in a sukkah, she decides to shake a lulav, to hear a shofar. These are all mitzvah that women are technically exempted from, but they're mitzvot. They did a mitzvah. A little bit like if a woman decides to have a baby, she'll say, well, I'm not commanded to do pruravu. So what did I do? Nothing. I just helped my husband keep his mitzvah. No, chas v'shalom. When a woman has a baby, she fulfilled the Torah mitzvah of pruravu. She didn't have an obligation. He had the obligation, but she sure fulfills a mitzvah. She just gets, quote unquote, less reward, whatever that means. By the way, why would you get less reward for something you're not obligated in?
Because
people, especially Jewish people, once you tell them that you have to do something, I'm not going to do that. And I, you know, you go to all these shirim about like the kazayis on Pesach. How big is it? Oh, Rabbi, I can't eat that much matzah. Come on, where did those shirim? Have you ever seen people eat at Kiddushim the whole way round, the whole year round? They don't have a problem eating. People all year round have no problem eating at all. until he gets to Seder night, when there's the one time of the year that the Torah says they have to eat. Oh, Rabbi, I can't eat that much. Okay, fine. Beseder. They get less reward. Whatever. So maybe there's a rebellion. Maybe the Maharal says also, when you're obligated to do something, you're part of the system of the creation. Meaning, the sun comes up, the sun goes down because it has a chiyuv. It's part of the system. It doesn't have a choice. And in that sense, it's serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way it's meant to be. So when we click into our chiyuvim, says the Maharal, we're part of that system of how the world was created. To volunteer to do something, that's nice, but on a certain level, you're kind of upsetting the system a little bit. That's not what you were put here to do. You can if you want to. So therefore, the someone who's obligated gets more reward than someone who is not. By the way, I brought you just, you know, for interest in number 24, the Rambam says, even if a non-Jew decides to eat, to do a mitzvah, to eat matzah, to shake a lulav, to sit in a sukkah, he also, or she also gets a reward. Which is fascinating. Apart from Shabbos and learning Torah, which is two separate issues, which non-Jews are not meant to be doing those mitzvahs. But it's a fascinating idea. He says clearly a non-Jew has a place in Olam Haba. If they earn it, you might have said, well, that's Sheva Mitzvot. Apparently, if a non-Jew decides to sit and eat matzah, then that is also some level of a mitzvah. Many people say you can't have a non-Jew at your Seder. I've heard that many times. That's a little bit of a myth. You're not meant to have a non-Jewish guest at any Yontif meal because of the concern that you might cook extra on Yontif for the non-Jewish person. Your heter to cook on Yontif is only for Jews. On Shabbos, you can have non-Jewish guests as much as you like because there's no concern that you're going to cook because you can't cook anyway. So there's no real difference between Seder night that I'm aware of and, you know, the night of Shavuos in terms of who you're inviting for Seder. Okay, and by the way, that's very complicated. People who are converting, what do they do? I'm not getting into that now. There's a way around that they sort that out. Fine. So the Chizkuni and the Ibn Ezra says, I fulfilled a posuk. But not just a posuk. Look at this Mechilta, number 25. This Mechilta sounds like a very good, real halachic support. This shit takes us all over the place. What's the Mechilta? The halachic midrash. The difference between Mishnah or Gemara and halachic midrash is halachic midrash organizes halacha according to the verses, according to the psukim. Whereas Mishnah and Gemara, it's thematic. It's different mesechtas for different topics. So look at the Mechilta. Berishon ba'arba asa. Hakos of kavu chayveh. Okay, the Torah says you have to eat on Seder night. Why does he then go on and say, I have to eat till the 21st in the evening? Ma Talmud Loma, what's the Torah telling me? The Fisha Oime, because it says Shivas Yamim Matzos Techelu, you have to eat matzah for 7 days. Ainli Ela Yamim, I would only say I have to eat matzah by days. Leilois Minayin, how do I know I also have to eat matzah at night? Talmud Loma ad Yom Echad Ve'esrim until the 21st in the evening. The Rabbos is Alelos to include the nights. Well, to include the nights in what? Didn't we just say that you don't have to eat matzah at all after the first night? It sounds like from this Mechilta that there is some residual mitzvah on. It's not just the pshat in the psukim. There's something going on here that's telling me that I need to, or I have a mitzvah to. I don't have to, but I have a mitzvah to eat matzah for the whole of Pesach. Now, there were those that said, nonsense, this is not true. The Meiri, also a major Provençal player, jumps in number 26 and says, Kvar yadata, surely you already know, she'amatzah ein chiyuv kol shiva. There is no obligation of matzah for the 7 days of Pesach. El alayla rishon bilvad, just the first night. Hashar yamim, if it's the rest of the days, kol she'eino oichel chametz, as long as you're not eating chametz, oichel mashiyirtza. Eat whatever you like, you do not have to eat matzah. Okay? How do we paskin? So again, Shulchan Aruch said clearly, you don't have to eat matzah for the rest of the 7 days. But the Vilna Gaon, and this is the second famous bit, there's the Chizkuni and the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon says as follows in number 27. They recorded, this wasn't written by the Gaon, they recorded the Minhagim and the Hanhagot, the way the Gaon conducted himself in life. And they recorded it in Maaseh Rav. By the way, there was a big tumult as to whether the Vilna Gaon ate Knedlach. Because there were many that people said, it's Gebrochts, surely the Vilna Gaon wouldn't eat Gebrochts. And apparently they sent a delegation to see if the Vilna Gaon actually ate Knedlach. And as far as I'm aware, the Vilna Gaon definitely ate Knedlach. Certainly, I grew up, in my home was a Litvish home. Everyone in Leeds, where I came from, was from Lithuania. They were all from the same places in Riga and Vilna and Ritava, etc. And without Knedlach, there's no Pesach without Knedlach. And my grandmother, actually, interesting, Alei HaShalom, all the rest of the year, I don't know where this came from, she made a little Knedlach in the soup, but on Pesach, she made these, what we used to call them, cannonball Knedlach. So the Knedlach was the, it's not, I mean, it's Knedl rather than Knedlach, but it was sitting in the bowl, like, you know, enormous, you know, like, you know, planet Earth sitting in a bowl. And that, for me, was Pesach. The idea of not eating gebrochs on Pesach is I've lived in Israel now, you can't get gebrochs. You have to make your own. You can't get gebrochs in the stores now. Okay. Number 27. The Hasidim will eventually take over the earth. Okay, fine. Shivas Yamim Tochal Matzos. Says the Gon. Kol Shiva Mitzvah. All 7 days is a mitzvah. The Eina Karel Rishut. Why does the Gemara call it Rishut? Why does the Rambam call it Rishut? Eina Karel Rishut Ela Legabe Lila Rishona. It's only called a Rishut, an option, in relation to the first night, Shehi Chova, which is a full chiyuv. U'mitzvah legabe chayva rishus karila, and mitzvah compared to chayva is called a rishut because it's not an absolute obligation, but it's absolutely a mitzvah.
What you're saying is you don't have to.
Oh, for sure you fulfill a mitzvah. The Afal Pi Ken mitzvah d'oraita hu. He's absolutely clear. It's a mitzvah d'oraita to Isha for 7 days. The Chayim Pishu Yontif ain sarich ois, and similarly the explanation is on Yontif you don't need an ois. What's he talking about here? He's channeling a Gemara in the Nachas, which is also a Kabbalistic idea. That there are three mitzvot which are called a sign. There's Brit Milah, there's Shabbat, and there's Tzvilin. Thank you. Brit Milah, Shabbat, and Tzvilin. So you only ever need two Eidim to establish the truth of something. And if a third Eid comes along, it's almost as if they're suggesting that there's something wrong with one of the first two Eidim. Oh no, you need me as well. So comes along the Kabbalah and says, and again it's a Gemara Menachos as well, you should never have a third aid. If you have Tfilin and Bris Milah, then you don't need Shabbos. But if you have Bris Milah and Shabbos, then you don't need Tfilin. Hence you are not allowed to wear Tfilin on Shabbat, because Shabbat is this sign. You're not allowed to wear Tfilin on Yontif, because Yontif is this sign. We don't do Malacha. That's also part of the sign. What about Chol HaMoed? You're allowed to do Malacha on Chol HaMoed. Or are you? In theory, you are. This is why this is such an interesting topic. He says, V'kein perishu Yontif ein tzarich ois. And in Pesach is an ois b'matzah, and Sukkos b'sukkah. The oit kam arise, and there are more proofs. Says the Vilna Gaon, there is a sign running all the way through Pesach, which is the sign of the mitzvah of eating matzahs. Not just the first night, there's a mitzvah the whole way. Just like there's a mitzvah the whole way through Sukkos, of sitting in a sukkah, of living in a sukkah. So too, that's why you don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Because you would never have three otot. You've got Brit Milah, it's with you all the time if you're a man. Because what do women do about this is another question, not for now. Okay, we'll get back to women in a minute. You've got Brit Milah, you've got tefillin. So you wouldn't, you've got Pesach rather, Matzah, so you wouldn't wear tefillin. Not just you wouldn't wear tefillin, but you mustn't wear tefillin. Because of this reason, because it's a mitzvah of eating matzah all through Pesach. The Hayam Achaviv Ma'od, now it says, the Vilna Gaon was very into eating matzah. The Hayam Achaviv Ma'od mitzvah zachilas matzah, the mitzvah of eating matzah, kol shiva all seven. Will be Yontav Achron on the last day, Haya Oichel Suda Shlishit. This is what we call now Suda Shal Mashiach. Yeah? The Vilna Gaon would eat a Suda Shishit on Yontif, even though there's no obligation to. The Rambam says you have to, but we don't pass in that way. Afa pi shelo haya ochel shalos Sudas b'shar Yontif. He never had Suda Shishit on Shavuos, but on Pesach he did on the last day, mipnei chavivas mitzvah achilas matzah shizman holechlo. Because the mitzvah was running out, he's only got a half an hour more to eat matzah, he eats Suda Shishit.
As a mitzvah.
Correct. He can eat matzah on Shavuos, but it's not a mitzvah. Now, this all fits together beautifully. The reason that we don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, if you're a man, is that there's a mitzvah of matzah. And if there was no mitzvah of matzah, you would wear tefillin. There's only one problem.
A lot of people
wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Look at number 28. But Chol HaMoed, gam kein asur lahaniach tefillin. Says the Shulchan Aruch, it's also to wear tefillin. Mehatama zeba'atzma. For this very reason, sheyimei Chol HaMoed gam heim ot. Because Chol HaMoed is a sign. Now we're assuming, and the Mishnah Berurah assumes in 29, He's going, this is the Gaon. The Gaon is saying it's a sign because there is a mitzvah to eat matzah. Meaning, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say there's no mitzvah to eat matzah on 7 days. He just says there's no obligation. So Vilna Gaon says, no, there's still a mitzvah. That's why he says you're not allowed to wear tefillin. Then says the Rama, of course, the Yeshua and the Shechol HaMoed, Chayav B'Tfilin. When did you ever see a machlokas where one side says Chayav and the other side says Osa? This is very interesting. You're obligated to wear tefillin. And that's what we do in Poland. We make a bracha on our tefillin. Don't make a loud bracha like you do during the week. It's interesting. People used to make loud brachas so they could say Amen. So what do we do with this? According to the Rama, that we do wear tefillin, so presumably there is no mitzvah to eat on Pesach because there's no third ot. So I need my tefillin and I need my Brit Milah, but I don't have Pesach. So maybe that's one of the reasons why the Litvish Olam didn't go necessarily with the Gaon. Don't forget the Vilna Gaon was from Lithuania, but he didn't reflect the practice in Lithuania. The Vilna Gaon was something of a recluse. He had his own group and his class of people, his yeshiva. The mainstream Lithuanian psak did not follow many of the psakim of the Gra. For example, duchening every day, that was the psak of the Gra. Eating matzahs all through Pesach, not wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. The standard Lithuanian minhag was to wear tefillin. When I lived in England, we always wore tefillin. We wore them until Hallel. We took them off before Hallel on Chol HaMoed, except on first day Chol HaMoed, when the laning includes tefillin. Remember this from the old country? When the laning includes tefillin, and then you keep on your tefillin on first day Chol HaMoed in Chutz La'aretz until Pesach, until Musaf. Talk to Israelis about this, they don't know what you're talking about. The first time I ever came to Israel, when I was a very young married man, on, you know, Pesach, I came with my wife. I went to Chovavei Tzion, around the corner here, on Chol HaMoed, and I put my tefillin on. Oh my goodness me. I was nearly ejected from the... I was going to say I was nearly crucified, but that's a bit too close to... That's a bit too close to Pesach for comfort, okay? The Gaba came up to me fuming. He said, if you insist on wearing tefillin, do it in your hotel room. Okay, never again. Okay, never wore tefillin again. So this is an interesting connection. Of course, you could argue that the ice on the sign on Chol HaMoed doesn't have to be Pesach. It can be not doing malacha. That's also a sign, like Shabbat. That then depends on whether there is a Torah prohibition of not doing malacha, or whether that's rabbinic. And you see then everything ties in to each other. I'm just not going to ask the question because I've got a lot to get through. Sorry. At the end, hopefully we'll have time for questions. Okay, let's go over the page. So where does that leave us? Where does that leave us? Do we find any other mitzvot, like 7 days of eating matzah, that we fulfill because the pshat, because the posik says to fulfill the mitzvah? Maybe. There are a few. What about wearing your tzitzit out of your clothing so it's visible? Ure'isem oto. He says you have to see it. Now, halachically, ure'itim oto is there to tell us that tzitzit applies only during the day, not at night. But maybe there's an additional kiyum of the posik. Look, it says you should see them. I know it doesn't mean that halachically, but maybe you should see them. And there are many that say, no, that's a reason you should definitely have your tzitzit out. Now, the minhag again in Lithuania was to always have the tzitzit in, not to have the tzitzis out. But okay, maybe you don't have to do that. It's not halachically obligatory. Although the Mishnah Berurah is very unhappy with people who keep their tzitzis in, because it looks like you're ashamed of it, whatever. What about Arvei Nachal? When I get my Arovus on Sukkos, Arvei Nachal just means a certain species. I have to get this species, not that. Do I have to dafka go looking for Arovus that grew by the river? So the Torah brings a machlokas and says, maybe that's extra, maybe that's nice, maybe that's an additional kiyum of what it says in the pasuk. Interesting. So, you know, your homework is to go and look for these, find areas where we not just keep the halachic obligation, but an extra chiyuv maybe, or kiyum at least, based on the pasuk. Maybe, yeah, maybe it's an extra level of mitzvah. In fact, with tzitzit, the Shulchan Aruch says, having your tzitzit out is ikar mitzvah. It's the ikar of the mitzvah. Sounds like it's quite important. Fine. I brought you in the middle of page 6, some Rav Menachem Kasha in his Haggadah takes on a, so he's not the first, a little bit of a kind of a chase to find sources. Are there any other hints anywhere in the Gemara for this idea that you do indeed have to find to eat matzah for 7 days, even though Gemara explicitly said it's only the first night. And actually, when you go looking, you find some interesting things. I've not got time to go through them all now, but there are four or five or six. He brings quite a few different, like, breadcrumbs, if you like, to find a trail through the Gemara, which hints that maybe that you have to eat all 7 days.
I think it's matzah crumbs.
Yeah, maybe. Matzah bri, maybe.
Rather than breadcrumbs.
Okay, breadcrumbs. Yes, good. Matzah crumbs. He leaves matzah crumbs. Okay, fine. So you can look at that in your own time. Number 30. The Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva. And he says there are, on the contrary, other people who won't eat matzah at all after the first night. They won't touch it for the rest of Pesach. And he says, is this correct? Look at number 30. Fascinating tshuva. Im yesh makim l'chumra, is there any place for the chumra? Pesach is a time for chumras. Shelo le'echol matzah kol yimei Pesach milvad b'leil ha-seder. That you won't, people don't eat matzah anytime, even Shabbos and Yom Tov, apart from Seder night. So he says as follows. Im yesh makim v'achiza l'hachmir al atzmo shelo le'echol matzah kol yimei ha-pesach, mishum chashash chimutz. What are they worried about? Maybe it's chometz. Meaning the one thing in your cupboard on Pesach which is most likely to be chometz, is matzah. Okay? That's why people didn't eat much matzah on Pesach. They were worried about chometz. Or mitzayim ha'achrin, maybe there's another reason. Milvan b'leil ha'seder, we'll see what the other reason might be. They only eat on Leil Pesach, ba'asher mesupar v'nishma, akama v'kama chasidim v'anshei maisa shenagu v'noagim kacha. Does anyone here know anyone who won't eat matzah, even on Yom Tov, only on Seder night? I've never come across this. But he says, people talk about chasidim v'anshei maisa. You know, pious, I don't think he's talking about the chasidim, as in the social, sociological group. There are people who are pious, who are concerned, who apparently do this. Look at what he says. Aleph. L'fi anias daiti, ein kol makom l'chumra zot. There's no place for this chumra. V'ala noigim kacha mishum chasidus, if you're doing this to be pious, mechashasha, because you're worried about comets, Haniskel, as we said, actually Kra Aleim, the Loma, we can talk about these people, they're not really Hasidim, but Oisim Hasidim Enru Chachamim Nochanehem. This is not the kind of Hasidus that is right. The rabbis don't like this, because you're breaking things in order to be pious. Why? Milvacha Ivrim Al Yide Kach, even forget about the fact that they're breaking Al Chiv Lechol Kol Yom Pas. You have an obligation, if you can, to wash every day of Pesach. Could a pasuk in Magen Avraham, because the pasuk in Magen Avraham says that, etc. Umagam Shabbos and Yom Tov. Forget about Shabbos and Yom Tov, where of course you have more of a reason to wash. Even every day Chol HaMoed, if you can, you should wash. So they don't do that. Chutz mizeh, and I give you another thing. He says, im choshishim mishum chashash chimutz. If they were really worried that their matzah is a chometz, eich ochli mizeh belaila rishon. How do they eat them on Seder night? Either they're chometz or they're not chometz. Make your mind up. If they are chometz, you can't eat them. The Munkach Rebbe went crazy, these people. Says you can't. Munkach Rebbe never says anything calmly. He says everything very harif. He says these people are breaking Yom Tov. They're not washing on Yom Tov. And he brings there all the people that say, and also there is, according to many, a mitzvah to eat matzah all 7 days. And they're not, definitely not keeping that. So that's one thing they're doing wrong. Over the page to page 7. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, v'huze ulai, maybe they're doing this kedei lahoitzi mikat hakarait. Maybe they're doing this because they don't want to be accused of being karaites. Why? Because the karaites said, it says in the pshat, you have to eat for 7 days. Oh, I don't want to be a karaite, I want to be a rabbinite, and I only want to eat for the first night, like the halacha says. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, what are you talking about? The Karaites, Shmarites, forget about the Karaites. Many, many holy and great Jews have said that there's also a mitzvah. The Ibn Ezra, the Vilna Gaon, the Chizkuni. These people are not Karaites. You're doing a mitzvah by eating matzah. It's not just a Karaite thing. And the last thing he says, which I think is interesting for all of us, hey, three lines up from the bottom, the Atayna Shalom Nitna Torah L'Malachei Hasharis. And don't we have a principle that the Torah wasn't given to Malachim? Okay? Ra'iti b'sefer zikaron Yehuda, he quotes this b'sefer zikaron Yehuda. Lo'ya da'isa nochi b'mashe no'gim shelo le'echol matzah klal b'yimei Pesach. He doesn't like these people who will avoid matzah all through Pesach. Amnam hu amen, doesn't it say, ki lo nitna l'tarul malachi ha'shares? V'ha'adam tzarek li'zai b'mashe b'kocha. We have to try as hard as we can to avoid chometz, v'yachalto as much as we're able. For we shouldn't let that become an obsession and remove us from Simchas Yontif. We have a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. I mean, you could say the same about Gebrochs. That, like, there comes a point when Gebrochs become... But, okay, Gebrochs is an established meaning of real Hasidim v'Anshei Maisa. Far be it for me to criticize Gebrochs. But the point is, he says, you can't go... You can't, when you become obsessive about chometz, you've ceased to understand where the mitzvah is. Now, of course, we have to get rid of everything, to get rid of all the chometz. But we know there's no chometz on the lampshades, and there's no chometz on the windows, and there's no chometz on the ceiling, etc., etc. The point at which Simchas Yontif is impaired, that's when we say, lo nitna l'malachei asharis, you have to eat your matzahs and be happy. Now, you may decide not to eat certain kinds of matzah. I once went to Dan Lopi and Zecher Tzadik Livracha and said to him, do you eat, I remember, I was walking down the crest in Hendon, I remember the conversation, do you eat hand matzahs or machine matzahs at your Seder? I said, machine matzahs. I said, why? He looked at me, he said, I don't like eating chometz at my Seder. Okay, fine. So he only ate machine matzahs. So you might want to eat machine matzahs. Other people say it's a more of a problem with machine matzahs because how can they be made lishma? We had a whole shiur about that as well. Fine. So what should we be doing? Sounds like we should be eating matzah all 7 days. It's a mitzvah, according to some. What about a brocha? Can you make a brocha al achilas matzah? So you never heard anyone saying al achilas matzah except on Seder night. And that's because the halacha clearly says that you should not. Now the Vilna Gaon did allow, even mandate, certain brachot that we don't normally make. For example, at the end of, I brought you here a couple of examples. Just one second. At the end of Moedim de Rabbanon, Baruch Kel Hoda'ot, he says, Baruch Ata Hashem Kel Hoda'ot. He says, you say Shem Malchus there. Or Baruch Chei HaOlamim, at the end of Berein HaFashot, we say at the end, Baruch Chei HaOlamim, says the Vilna Gaon, no, it's Baruch Ata Hashem Chei HaOlamim. So he mandates certain brachot. Did he mandate this one? So the famous quote here is from the Baal HaMa'or, another Provençal rabbi, who says that we cannot make a bracha on Pesach, and I'll tell you why outside, I'm not going to read the source inside, because unlike Sukkos, where the mitzvah is to live in the sukkah, to sleep in the sukkah. You cannot survive without sleep for the days of Sukkot. You have to be in that sukkah. There's no way you can avoid it. And therefore, since you have to do it, you have to make a bracha. Whereas matzah, you don't have to eat matzah. You could eat something else. You could eat potatoes. You could eat fruit. You could eat kidney if you're Sephardi. So since you don't have to eat the matzah, they never made a bracha al achilat matzah. Even if you say it's a mitzvah, and many people want to infer from the Baal HaMa'or, he also thinks it's a mitzvah. If he didn't think it was a mitzvah, why would he be discussing why we don't say a bracha? He obviously thinks it is a mitzvah, but we just don't say a bracha. Other people bring, I brought you in number 32, the Itur, or this is also the Psak of the Michtam, who are also Provençal. The reason we don't say a bracha is because there's no mitzvah, duh. That's why we don't say a bracha. It's obviously proof that there's no mitzvah if there's no bracha. So you could read it in either direction. The fact clearly is that there is no brocha. The Magen Avraham brings down that we don't make a brocha. But I brought you a tshuva of the Maharsham, number 34. Have a look at number 34 with me for a minute. He says the following. Shalto, you asked me the question. This is Rav Shlomo Mordechai Shvadron in the 19th century in Poland. There are certain people who follow this this practice of somebody who is mechuna b'shem tzaddik, a so-called tzaddik. So we've had before a so-called chassid, now we have a so-called tzaddik. Shiyash Hashem, okay, eizeh zman levarech, kol zayin yamei Pesach, because he would make a bracha all the 7 days of Pesach, al achilas matzah. Meaning there was someone out there that did this. And are you allowed to follow it? And he says very clearly, no. He goes through the whole thing, even if you say it's a mitzvah, which it may well be a mitzvah, we don't make a brocha, because, and he brings the chasam sofa, you don't make a brocha, the stei chemed, you don't make a brocha. But go to the last two lines, underlined, olachem, oysa tzadik v'chasidav, that tzadik and his chasidim, ein ruach chachamim noche mehem. You see a very interesting thing. People go a bit crazy on Pesach and start doing stuff that is not normal behavior. You see this. People stop eating matzah because they're worried about chametz. People start making brachas when they're not making them. People, there's something about Pesach that changes people's minds and makes them act in a certain way. And the tshuvas have to come along and say, steady on, we don't make this bracha. Yesh levatal haminag, you should cancel the minag. It's not correct. Now the netziv comes along and says, okay, you should make a bracha. But are you sure it's a bracha levatala? Meaning he brings an interesting example. He says Rav Sadugon brings that when a man goes to the mikveh, maybe a woman as well, I'm not giving to women go to the mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur, but when a man goes to the mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur and he comes out of the mikveh, he makes a bracha, ala tefila. Do you ever see anyone do that? Now we don't pass him that way. But Rav Sadugon, brought by the Rosh, says that that's what you do. Now, the Rosh says, we don't make a bracha because that's not in the Shas. We don't find that in the Gemara. And we don't find that as a long-standing minhag. We don't make up our own brachas. But is every bracha in Shas or a long-standing minhag? Let me give you two examples. Where do we get the idea that women, Ashkenazi women, make a bracha on positive time bar mitzvahs? That they're not obligated in. An Ashkenazi woman takes a lulav, she brings out, she says, al natilas lulav. She hears the shofar, lishma b'kol shofar. She sits in a sukkah, leishay b'sukkah. Now why does Sephardi women not say that? Because how can you say in the bracha, Sheikh Rishan Misotav, Vitzivanu? Vitzivanu, how can you say Vitzivanu? You're commanded. I wasn't commanded. So the Ashkenazim say, well, it must be that Vitzivanu means, like we, the Jewish people, were commanded. Like women will, when they're benching, will also say, V'alburitzacha shechatam tabiv sarenu. It's about us as a whole. But if you look in Tosfos, he doesn't say that any rabbi told them to make that bracha. It sounds like they decided to make a bracha. And now that Ashkenazi women make that bracha, who knows where that started exactly, Tosfos has to find a reason. Well, it can't be wrong. I think I'm going to tell all the Ashkenazi women that they're all wrong? No, he's not going to start up with that. Okay? Must be a reason. What about the bracha she'asani kiritzono? Where did that come from? It's not on the Gemara. It looks like it was innovated by women in the Middle Ages. They didn't want to say, they can't say Shalom Asani Isha, so they want to say something else, Shasani Kirtzono. So there may be brachot that do find their way into practice, even though they're not part of a long-standing minhag. When does something become a long-standing minhag? But we don't make a brach. Okay. Rav Moshe Sternbuch, number 37, says, he's very into the idea of eating matzah all 7 days. He says, I've got an eitzah for you. We've got an eitzah. Here's my eitzah. And this is a new thing. Every Pesach we need a new thing for Seder night, right? Here's your new thing for this year. When you say al achilas matzah on Seder night, or you answer amen to the person who's saying it, have kavana that includes all of the matzah you're going to eat for the mitzvah, perhaps, of eating matzah all 7 days. He says, just like we do on Purim. When the Baal Kore says, reads the Megillah, and he says, Shechianu, the rabbi stands up and says that you should have in mind the Shechianu covers the Mishloach Manos, Matanas Levionim, and the Suda, etc., etc. So do that for Alachilas Matzah. Okay? That's a nice idea. He brings that as an Eitzah as well. And I brought you over on page 9 that Tzitz Eliezer says, even though we don't make a bracha on Achilas Matzah all 7 days, some people just chalish to make that bracha. And therefore he says, I know somebody who says a whole hinenei muchun mezumen, l'shem yichud. People say l'shem yichud before they eat matzah. And whether you should say l'shem yichud at all is an interesting question. Not for now. No, to be Yehuda didn't like it. But there are people who get themselves in the mood. They ke'ilu say a bracha. Meaning they so want to say a bracha in the middle of Pesach that they almost say the bracha, but they don't. They say instead hinenei muchun mezumen, etc., etc. Okay, fine. Let me raise two last questions. First of all, halachic, and second of all, hashkafic. What, if there is this mitzvah, which it sounds like there might be, what is the nature conceptually of this mitzvah for the rest of Pesach? Is it a continuation of the matzah I ate on Seder night? Or is it a new and different mitzvah that kicks in? Why do I care? It may have implications. For example, a bracha. If it's a continuation, maybe I don't need to make another bracha. I already made a bracha. This matzvah that I have a mitzvah to eat during the rest of Pesach, does it have to be shmura matzah? If it's a continuation of Seder night, then maybe it does. And actually the Vilna Gaon did eat shmura matzah for all of Pesach, but he said he ate it because he was worried about chametz in other matzahs, so not for this reason. Does it have to be lechem oni? Do I have to eat the matzah for Seder night, the whole of Pesach? Can I eat matzah ashira, leaving aside whether we do or practice or don't? And do I have to eat another kazayas? Meaning, if I'm doing this mitzvah of eating matzah on fourth day Chol HaMoed, do I have to eat a kazayas or not eat a kazayas? So these are all things which may be relevant. Let me leave you with two hashkafic ideas to take you into Pesach. Page number 10, we have 1 minute, and this will be perfect for what we need. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says that the Lubavitchers don't paskin that there's a mitzvah to eat matzah through Pesach. They paskin it's only on Seder night. But there's still a segula. Why? Because in Kabbalah, the matzah is called lachma d'dehem nusa, the bread of our emuna. And on Seder night, when I have to eat it, so I'm taking on this emuna because I have to. But on the rest of Pesach, when I opt to eat it, that's a stronger type of emuna. Emuna that I take on because I've decided for myself is a stronger level of emuna than emuna that someone tells me I have to do, and therefore he brings that idea. And finally, I brought you Rabbi Yaakov Glasser, brings down, let's just finish with this in number 40, how are we to understand the presence of these two mitzvahs as defining elements of our Pesach experience? What is the relationship between them, etc.? Redemption is a complex reality. Yetzias Mitzrayim was an extraordinary moment of overt and revealed redemption for the Jewish people, and Seder night generates an obligation to re-experience that defining moment in our history. The consumption of matzah on that night facilitates the internalization of the emancipating moments of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The intentionality and specific character of the matzah, as well as the compelling obligation to engage it, all coalesce to create a spectacular moment affirming our personal connection to the extraordinary story of our redemption. However, Pesach does not end there. The notion of Geula lives within the historical and living consciousness of the Jewish people, well beyond the overt moments of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The paradigm of Pesach instills with us a capacity to recognize more subtle moments of Geula, even within the context of the compromised circumstances of history. Not every redemption in life is as grandiose and transformative as Yetzias Mitzrayim. Recognizing the presence of God in the momentum and flow of Jewish history and the personal circumstances of our own lives is the echoing lesson of Seder night, but the remainder of Pesach asks of us not to recreate the majesty of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but to embrace the ordinary moments of life and discover the kiyum of matzah within that context as well. Very beautiful idea. He brings it hashkafically. He says there's two different types of geula. There's the geula which is, you know, thunder and lightning and miracles and coming out of Egypt. That's the geula, the matzah we eat on Seder night, which is an obligation. But then there's also a mitzvah to see geula in less clear circumstances. Obviously, there's a strong Zionist, you know, religious Zionist element going on here, that we see geula in our lives, even though life is not perfect and there are still a lot of problems around, that can still be an element of geula. And that's maybe the optional Pesach mitzvah of matzah for the rest of the Chag. Okay, I think we've got through a lot there. Lots to think about. Hope you found that interesting. Be'ezrat Hashem, we have one shiur after Pesach, between Pesach and Yom HaTzmud, where we'll cover something related to Yom HaTzmud. But after Yom HaTzmud, we get down into hopefully a regular pattern. Okay, I wish you a Chag Kosev V'Sameach. Happy to take questions.